Raising Joyful Children in an Angry World, a podcast dedicated to faithful parents navigating their families through a stormy culture.
This is Raising Joyful Children in an Angry World. I'm your host, Paul Osborne. I'm going to bring this portion of the podcast kind of to a close this week. I want to wrap up by asking a question, really. Why take your family to church, and then what should you look for in a church? I'm going to take a little bit of a break and then come back with some different approaches and some different types of discussion, as I think we have kind of wrapped up the outline of this book. The idea of finding a good church is much harder than you might expect. What a church professes at, let's say, the PhD hierarchy leadership of the church, and what the local leadership might believe, can be vastly different. And then there's going to be variations among the members. The baselines we discussed in the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed may be a starting line, but a church can include those things in their liturgy and not believe it, and a church can believe it and not recite it. We've talked about from the medieval era, the reformational era, the Enlightenment, the American awakenings. There's all sorts of styles and understandings of faith, and there's lots of nuances between the Greek, the Latin, and the English language. The whole seeker movement that came about in the late 80s and 90s. And it helps explain why there are so many differences. And what I would say in conclusion, as you search for a church, is there's no such thing as a perfect church. Even the old slogan that a church ought to rightly divide the word of God and properly administer the sacraments, it helps, but you got to know something about biblical interpretation and systematic theology. And so to truly get a grip on finding a church in an era where so many have left basic orthodoxy, I think one way is to see how does the church love people. And particularly, and unfortunately, it sometimes takes tragedies and crisis and suffering within a body to actually reveal the heart of the church. Recently, in the community of saints that I belong to, we had a weekend with two very difficult funerals. It had been a difficult year, even in some respects, with medical discoveries and some other tough things. It made it difficult on our pastor and the leaders and the elders of the church. But this one particular week, two families suffered what every family hopes they never have to, in a loss. And when that news hit regarding the passing of these two younger members, email went out almost immediately by Monday or Tuesday, requesting volunteers to provide meals. And by Wednesday or Thursday, the slots were filling up rather rapidly. And then there was a visitation and a celebration of life, a time for grieving and a service over the weekend. And the weekend ended as this one poor, broken family had to come to church just needing more comfort. I watched the pastor speak these words that were like, they truly were God put in his mouth of empathy, of compassion. I watched the community of believers shed their tears in the way David talks about God putting our teardrops in bottles. It was some way to try and bear part of the burden and the grief of that family who was in such deep pain and sorrow. I saw the elders come and serve the sacraments of bread and wine in a way that was so gentle and reflective of the love of Christ. There's no place that I know of on earth where people do their best when we're going through our worst to wrap the love and the compassion of God around people in their most difficult hours. These situations force us to put away all of our political systems, our social and morality issues, and we recognize the limits of our wits when we're walking through suffering and death of our loved ones. We see that the wisdom of the world comes up empty. And so if you ever wonder about why to belong to a church. That was like such an answer. Where will your children turn? Who will they call? What will bring them through a crisis? These are the most important questions that a family must answer in the lives of their kids. But because these questions are hard and unthinkable and we don't like to talk about them, it's easy to leave them unanswered. A church, and like in this situation, delivers urgent care for those that are in despair. But if we've not made it part of the formation of our family, it'll be hard for anyone to know where to turn. The Apostle Paul told us that Christ gave us three gifts: faith, hope, and love. And yes, he said the greatest of these is love. But you'll need all three to navigate these desert times in the life of a family. This is why being part of a community of believers is so important. You need faith to believe that God is going to restore and resurrect in his time and renew all things. You've got to have hope. Hope sometimes is, you know, in business, hope's not a strategy. No, it's not in business, but your family is not a business. Hope is essential in order to get through it. And love is best expressed and felt when you need it most in your distress. Bringing your children to God, who gives them these three gifts, will be the most valued inheritance that you can leave them. Because all of us must navigate suffering. The scriptures often talk about it as desert times in our life. And all of us are going to face death itself. Deserts are hot in the day, they're cold at night. They're places where the normal things of life are no longer around you. Our suffering moments become spiritual deserts because the normal things of life go away. And we have to understand, how will we get through it? A stiff upper lip, as the Brits call it, or this new popular term in America called grit, or just dig deep inside and push on? I've been reading the history of Marco Polo recently, and there's a section in his notes, crossing the Gobi Desert to reach the Silk Road that would lead him to Mongolia and the Mongol Empire. And he describes the desert crossing. And he speaks about it, about the great illusions and what he says, the spirits that take place. Some call it the sound of the sands. Others call it spirits that create sounds of people marching in the distance, or voices, or running water. And Marco Polo describes the temptation that these sounds play on the mind and the soul, and that many people who were making this same journey would run off to see what is that sound, and then they cannot find their way back. These sounds are so powerful and seem so real that he and his traveling party tied bells around the necks of the horses and mules and camels to drown out the sound of the spirits or the sands and give the members of the team a true sound to follow. The instructions were simple. Follow the sounds of the bell, lest you wander off and die. The writer of this particular book says other historical figures that have journeyed across the desert describe it in very similar terms. It's learning to hear what rings true. It's learning to let it drown out what is false. The current generation of children in our country and in the West is growing up in a world of the artificial like none before it. Artificial intelligence, virtual reality, propaganda pollution continue to increase while the number of those professing faith in Christ dwindle, at least in the West, if the surveys by various groups, including Barna, are true. I say all this as I'm trying to wrap this up, that saying finding a church is not easy. In fact, you may have to search for a church more than once in raising your family. Hope that's not the case, but it can be. The complexities of people, leaders, and style, it's really hard to know. But I want to leave you with this. I think the 23rd Psalm is a guide that most of us can grasp. Does the church that I'm attending or considering raising my family in, does it reflect, not perfectly, but does it reflect what is spoken in the 23rd Psalm? The Lord is my shepherd. Jesus explains in John 10, the great shepherd, that he's the only way. He's the gate. He's the voice that his sheep hear, that they know his voice. And anyone coming in another way is a liar. He says he has the power to lay down his life and the authority to pick it up, and that he lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus has to be the great shepherd, the centerpiece, the voice of the church that you are in, according to who he says he is. I shall not want. Are you getting an understanding of Jesus so that you don't want some other shepherd? He makes me lie down in green pastures. Do I have a sense of peace in my church? Maybe not every time you go, but are there times where I have that sense of lying down in a green pasture? He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Is the mission of the church restorative and not condemning? He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Is your family being directed to the righteousness, to truth, to the wisdom of God? Yea, though I walk through the valley of death, I will fear no evil. Are you hearing messages of peace? Are you being taught not to fear? Are you being taught not to fear death itself? For thou art with me. Are you taught in word and sacraments that God is with you as one who tabernacles with you, who has fellowship with you, that God is not some abstract concept, but engages us in real ways the way he did with Abraham and Moses and the disciples? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Are you being given good counsel? Again, not perfect counsel. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Are you taught that God is a God of abundance, a giver of gifts? The way God says he gives gifts about what Jesus says is valuable? Not the prosperity gospel, not that he's going to make you a billionaire or multimillionaire, but are you being taught that God is a God who is a giver and abundant? Thou anointest me with oil, my cup overflows. Is God personal to you? Do you sense a personal connection to God that your church is encouraging and that you sense this when you're there? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Is grace eternal and generous, and will it follow you all your days? Is this something that's everlasting? I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Are you grasping in your fellowship that God is eternal and his promises to you and your family are unbreakable? Having a church for your family is critical. It won't be without flaws and problems. It won't come without misunderstandings. It won't come without having to forgive people and people forgive you. There will be spiritual attacks from the enemy that you'll think are flesh, but they're not. They're principalities and spiritual issues. Finding and belonging will be the most significant treasure you can give your children so that they might be joyful. And the 23rd Psalm is a great way to try and see, yeah, this church, they're not perfect, I'm not, but they reflect something of this psalm and of the great shepherd that I want to be a part of it.
The ultimate battle for the heart and soul is a fight for identity. Our King invites our kids to know who they are, what to believe, and where they belong. Until next time, let's remember the words, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.